How many of you took the bus to school? I rode it for 13 years. Sometimes we were one of the first ones the bus picked up. Then we rode it for over an hour and a half.
I can't remember. Long, long trip. Other times they flipped the route, we were one of the last ones picked up, and then it was only like a 15-minute ride or so. I didn't care if it was a long ride going to school because I kind of had to psych myself up for school. But I like getting off one of the first ones coming home because I could get my chores done and still watch Star Trek at 4 o'clock, so that was important. Of course, when my grandson, my new grandson, and mom and daughter are doing great, thanks for everybody who prayed. When my new grandson grows older, I'm going to tell him about the four-hour trip we took on the bus to school and the four-hour trip we took home, and how we only had that little small pot-belly coal stove in the middle of the bus to keep us warm. And then that wouldn't have been so bad, but it was the two-hour walking to the bus and the two-hour walking home from the bus, uphill both ways in the snow. Seriously, as we reflect this morning upon our relationship with Christ, I want you to keep that picture in front of you, riding the bus, because there's some parallels between who we are in Christ and how that works out, and we as students riding the bus. So that's what we'll look at, two parallels primarily. But before we do, let's establish the biblical basis for our comparison. And this is the way the Bible talks about our relationship with Christ. There's more than these, there's much more than these. But it speaks in legal terms. And so sometimes they'll talk about us that we had a debt to pay, Christ paid it, we are forgiven. That's a theme that runs throughout the Bible. And then it also talks about us as a family. We were strangers. God adopted us. We are now his children. That's a theme that runs throughout the Bible too. Another way it tries to illustrate or talk to us about our relationship with Christ is in a more cosmic sense. We are in Christ. The phrase in Christ or in him is found throughout the New Testament. And that's the one I want us to think about today. And that's the one I think that is very much a parallel to a student riding a school bus. So let's look at a few verses. Romans 6:4. When we believe, we are placed in Christ. So we're, if you will, put on the school bus. We are put in Christ, we are put on the school bus. And so what happens with Christ becomes true to us to some extent, just as what happens with the school bus is true to some extent with the students who ride it. And so we are told, Romans 6:4, we were buried therefore with him, or you could say in him, but we were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. And then tied right to that, Ephesians 2, some of this I read this morning in our call to worship. But God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Do you see the comparison? When I rode the school bus, I went wherever the school bus went. When the school bus went down to the next neighbor, the Otis Figs, and stopped at the Otis Figs, I stopped too. When it went to the Peckhams, I went to the Peckhams. When it stopped at the Peckhams, I stopped at the Peckhams. Then it went to the Martinsons and stopped there. I went to the Martinsons and stopped there. It may sound like terribly profound, but wherever it went, that's where I went. And never once did the bus go in this way and then I went that way because I was in the bus, obviously. It never stopped, and I did not stop. Sometimes, you know, you don't quite, don't go there. Some of our bus drivers were kind of fun. So sometimes you stop, but maybe not as quickly as the bus. And so on and so forth. Wherever it went, that's where I went. Why? Because I was in the bus. And in the same way, we are in Christ. So to some extent, wherever he goes, whatever he did, whatever he does, we also go with him. We also do it with him, and so on and so forth. And so when we look at these verses, he was crucified and buried. We are in Christ, so we were crucified and buried. He rose again, and because we are in him, we rose again. He ascended on high, because we are in him, he ascended on high. And it doesn't matter that he made his trip 2,000 years ago, because what's time to God? It doesn't matter that he made his trip 2,000 years ago, but once we believe, we are placed in Christ, and then to some extent, whatever was true of Christ now becomes true of us. He died, we died. He rose, we rose. He is ascended on high and sits in the place of authority. We are seated with him in the heavenly realms. Doesn't always feel that way. And sometimes a person may doubt it, but this is most emphatically true. We have died with Christ. We are in him. We have died with Christ to sin, to temptation, to Satan, and so on. And we have been raised with Christ to newness of life, and so on. And we are seated with him at the right hand of God in the place of authority, in the place of authority. We made the trip because we are in Christ. We are in the bus. And once again, it doesn't matter that he made it 2,000 years ago, because it doesn't matter what's time to God. So we made the trip with him, so to speak. So if you have a neighbor who sometimes, you know, brags about their trip they took to Europe or Israel or wherever, you can just say to them, I took a trip 2,000 years ago in Christ. Like to see them top that one. Now let's look at the first parallel. When we rode the bus to school, everyone on the bus was what? Except for the bus driver, everyone was a student. Didn't matter if their name was Corntweet or Oldesvig or Peckham or Martinson, we were all students. Didn't matter how we viewed ourselves, that's what we were. When I was in first grade, that's what this one's for. When I was in first grade, I sometimes pictured myself, instead of on the school bus, riding in a big tank with a big cannon and a laser. And every house I went past, I blew up every house, every barn, every silo. I even blew up the cars as they were going the other way, because you never knew where the enemy was. In fact, I even blew up the mailboxes, because you don't know where the enemy might be hiding. Didn't matter who I thought I was, a tank driver. Didn't matter who I pretended I was, a tank driver. I was a student on my way to school. And the same way with you and I, sometimes we think we are something that we are not, or we doubt that we are who we really are, who Christ really says we are. But what's the truth? We are who we are in Christ, not who we sometimes think we are. Or sometimes who we think we are not. And this is true again because we are in Christ. So these are some of the things that are true about us because we are in Christ. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, he is a new creation. In Christ, a new creation. The old has passed away, behold, the new has come. There's two main Greek words that are translated as new in the New Testament. From the Greek. The first one, and it's not this word, the first one is heteros, and it means another one, but of the same kind. New in number, but not in kind. So if I have a glass and I tip it over and I break the glass, I go and buy another glass. It's a new glass, but it's still a glass. New in number, but not in kind. That's not the word that's used here. Then there's another Greek word, kainos, and it means new in number and new in kind. So I have my glass here, I tip it over, it breaks, and I go to myself. I'm tired of breaking glasses. So then I go to the store and I buy a Yeti or something totally different. It's new in number, but also in kind. And that's the word that's used here. We are a new creation, a kainos, new creation. New in number, it's a new life, but it's also new in kind. It's different than what we had before. Or if you want to think in computer terms, it's not just that we've been rebooted, it's that God went in first and replaced a lot of the hardware, upgraded us, made us totally new. We went from the old hard drive to the solid state drives now, and so on and so forth. It's new, it's different. It's just not that we've been given another chance, we've been given a new heart, new life, and so on and so forth. Sometimes we think we're just like everyone else, only that we try to live by a better ethic. And we do try to live by a better ethic, but that falls so far short of who we are. We are a new creation. We have a new heart. It's not just that we try to live by a new ethic, it's that God has given us the ability to do that, to live by the new ethic, which also means we're not victims. I think a lot of times, well, our whole society is into victimhood. We're all victims, aren't we? But even we Christians sometimes think we're victims in the face of endless temptation, satanic attack, just the evil that's in the world. Sometimes we feel like we're victims. Paul said in Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ. Once again, there's the in Christ phrase. And what are we? We are free. We're not bound by Satan. We're not bound by sin. We are free. We're not victims. Because Christ died and rose again, we have died and rose again. And we are free. We're not victims. Which means, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:14, thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. He's talking specifically about the apostles and how even though they were beaten down, God was leading them in triumph and using them to spread the gospel to everywhere. But the same is true for us as Christians. No matter our circumstance, no matter what we're going through, no matter how bleak it looks, God is leading us in triumph. Or as it says in Romans 8, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Now, there may be days when I'm on the school bus, I don't feel like a student, but I am a student nevertheless, right? There may be days as Christians, I do not feel like I am a conqueror, but I am. Nevertheless, I am. No matter how I feel in Christ, I am more than a conqueror. Do you believe that? Do you really believe it? I think sometimes we doubt. But we are. That's what the scripture says. That's the truth. Indeed, because we are in Christ, the following are true. And I want you to just think about these as I read through these. And this isn't anything that I've developed. This is from Neil Anderson's book, Victory Over Darkness. This came out a couple decades ago almost now. But think about these as I read some of these. 1 Corinthians 6:20, because we are in Christ. I have been bought with a price. I belong to God. That's profound. My kids belong to me. Don't mess with them. I belong to God. He watches over his own. 1 Corinthians 6:17, I am united with the Lord. I am one spirit with him. One in spirit with him. Sometimes it doesn't feel that way, does it? But that's the truth. My new spirit, the way he's created me, I am one in spirit with him. Wired the same way he's wired. I value the same things he values. I care about the same things he cares about. 1 Corinthians 12:27, I am a member of Christ's body. Ephesians 1:1, I am a saint. I am a saint. I don't always act like a saint. I don't always feel like a saint, but I am a saint. Set apart. To some extent, holy. Ephesians 2:18, I have direct access to God through the Holy Spirit. Think of all the things they had to do in the Old Testament to gain access to God. And we can go boldly into his presence and call him Abba. Colossians 1:14, I have been redeemed and forgiven of all my sins. Don't we all have that one thing or two things or three things in our life that we're still ashamed that we did? And when we think about it, we still kind of feel guilty. It's forgiven. Colossians 2:10, I am complete in Christ. I don't need anything else. I have Christ. Sometimes we think we need whatever, fill in the blank. I am complete in Christ. Romans 8:28, I am assured that all things work together for good. Not necessarily for my pleasure, not necessarily for my the way that I would want them to work out, but everything is working out for good for me and for those around me. Romans 8:35, 39, I cannot be separated from the love of God. No matter what I'm going through today, God loves me just as much as he did yesterday when things weren't dark. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22, I have been established, anointed, and sealed by God. Philippians 1:6, I am confident that the good work God has begun in me will be perfected. He's going to keep on working in my life. And one day he will make me like him. Philippians 3:20, I am a citizen of heaven. Colossians 3:3, I am hidden with Christ in God. How about this one, 2 Timothy 1:7, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. There's a lot of fear in our nation right now. Sometimes I'm afraid. That's not who I am in Christ. In Christ, I have been given a spirit of power, love, and sound mind, not a spirit of fear. 1 John 5:18, I am born of God, and the evil one cannot touch me. Oh, he can lie to me. He can accuse me. He can tempt me. But he has no power over me. I'm in Christ. Matthew 5:13 and 14, I am salt and light in this earth. We often think of those as commands. You need to be salt. You need to be light. And we do. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are these things. John 15:1 and 5, I am a branch of the true vine, a channel of his life. John 15:16, I have been chosen and appointed to bear fruit. He's going to work through me, through all of us, and cause us to bear fruit. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21, I am a minister of reconciliation for God. Ephesians 2:9, I am God's workmanship. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus was more than a conqueror. He laid down his life. No one took his life from him. He laid it down. And then he rose again and ascended on high. And we are in him. We are in him. We are not who we think we are. We are who God says we are. Isn't that profound? Now let's look at the second parallel. Let's go back to the bus. It didn't matter who we were or where we lived. When the bus picked us up, it took us all to the same place, to Nakusa High School. Some of us rode the bus for more than an hour. Others rode it for 15 minutes. It didn't matter. The bus took us all to the same place, to Nakusa High School. Some of us on the bus were A and B students. Some of us on the bus were C and D students. It didn't matter. The bus took us all to the same place, Nakusa High School. Some of us were relatively well-behaved. Some of us were, not quite so well-behaved. Didn't matter. The bus took us to the same place, Nakusa High School. In the same way, all those who are in Christ are going to go where he has gone already. If you're on the bus, you go where the bus is going, and our bus is going to heaven. First Thessalonians, you know this verse, the set of verses, 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. And I love this part. For the Lord himself will descend. The Lord himself is coming to get us. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead, and there's the phrase again, in Christ, will rise first, those who have already passed away. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Always, always, always. Now, I know some of you have had a deprived life. If you've never been to Nacusa, sorry, you just need to go there sometime. It's one of those, you know, places it should be on everyone's agenda. And I don't want to brag about my hometown, but just suffice it to say that, among other things, it was home to the famed Cowpie Stadium, where many a person slid into what they thought was second base. You can think about that one for a while. But as wonderful as Nacusa was, is, as wonderful as Platteville is, as wonderful as your hometown was, wherever you might be from, I suspect heaven is just a tad better, don't you? Just a tad. It's all very nice to ride a bus, and I have some pretty good memories of riding the bus, some not so pleasant ones too, but I have some pretty good memories. But at the end of the day, you want to get somewhere, don't you? You don't want to ride the bus forever. Doesn't get any better than heaven. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more death. I'm tired of people dying. I think I'm getting old. I'm tired of people dying. And this is a big one for me, resting from my struggle with sin. One day we will not struggle against sin anymore. Our sin nature has been crucified, our sin nature has been killed, but it's still there to nag us, still there to tempt us. One day God's going to take that sin nature and it's done, gone completely. And I won't struggle anymore to do the right thing. I won't struggle anymore to be the person I ought to be. And I'll be able to love God with a whole heart, with an undivided heart. And then again, seeing God face to face. Seeing Christ in all his glory. That's one bus ride worth taking, isn't it? Doesn't get any better than that. So these are the facts, no matter what we might think or feel. In Christ, you and I went to the cross. We were dead and buried. We rose again. And we will one day disembark in heaven. In Christ, we've been made new and we are more than conquerors. In Christ. In Christ. It's ironic, really, but I think fallen man often thinks too highly of himself. And we Christians often think too lowly of ourselves, or I should say too lowly of our position. It's not that we are anything in and of ourselves, but we are in Christ. In Christ. And we often think too lowly of that position. Like I said here, let that truth wash over you and fill you with joy and peace. You are in Christ. You are in Christ. So what do you guys think about riding the bus? Some thumbs up, some thumbs down, probably a lot of this too. I have, for the most part, some pretty good memories of my ride on the bus. When I was in elementary school, my friend Tom, he would have a piece of paper and I'd have a piece of paper, and we'd just kind of put those pieces of paper together. And this is when you could talk about cowboys and Indians and everybody watched Westerns. And we had this whole, we drew stick people, we weren't artistic, but we had this whole battle scene with cowboys and Indians, complete with bows and arrows and guns. And it was just a whole battle scene that we would draw on the way to school. What fun. And then later, as I got older, there were some people on the bus that I just sat in the back. I couldn't wait to get off the bus and get away. But most of my memories are pretty good about riding the bus. Not so for everyone. There was this one girl I read about who, while she was in eighth grade, she threw up on the bus. And then every day after, every single day, for the rest of her high school years, when she got on the bus, she was greeted by, "Hey, it's the puke girl." What do you think about your life? I would say that for the most part, I've had a good life. Yeah, I've had some rough spots. I've had some pain. I've done some things I'm not proud of. But for the most part, I've had a good life. Again, not so everyone. There are other people who would say life stinks and I hate it. What's the good news? There is a bus that's going to heaven. There is a bus that's going to take people to a better place. The word of caution, there is a bus that's headed to heaven, but it's only one bus, and one bus only, Jesus Christ. And of course, then what's the challenge? People need to know they can get off the one bus and get on another bus. They can get off the merry-go-round, and they can get on the bus that leads to heaven. And then, of course, we need to make sure that we ourselves are on the right bus. Let's pray. Lord, what a ride you take us on. You take us to the cross, you take us to the grave. You take us out of the grave, you take us up to heaven. For even now, in one sense, we are seated with you at the right hand of the Father. And this is grace. This is grace. This is your grace. 100% your grace. We deserve none of it. But because you are rich in mercy, you died for us. You died in our place. And Lord, sometimes we stop there. We forget all the implications that are associated with your death and resurrection. We know we're forgiven, and we wallow in the grace that you have given us. We wallow in forgiveness. And what an important thing forgiveness is. But there's so much more that you give us. So much more. In you we are rich, in you we are conquerors. Lord, in you. Help us to realize just how rich a heritage we have in you. Help us to realize what an exalted position we have. Help us to hold our heads high, not because of anything that we do ourselves, but because of who we are in you. When we are tempted to fear, remind us we are in Christ. When we are tempted to be angry and hard and unforgiving with someone else, remind us we are in you. And we have the same heart you have. When we grow weary just from the trials of life, remind us we are in you and we have your strength and we can keep on keeping on. We are in you. We rejoice in our salvation and we rejoice in the grace in which we stand. Lord, you are incredibly good to us. We praise you in your name. Amen.